Joshua, of course, has become the leader of the people of God after the death of Moses. And he's had a commission from the Lord, which, of course, is described in the first 9 verses of chapter 1. And he's basically said, you've got to get going now. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And then he goes on in verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And then he gives them the reason. And this is something that we can apply to every one of us, can't we? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so then Joshua then moves on, and he now addresses the people, and in particular he addresses the tribes of Reuben, of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these tribes will respond to Joshua's words to them, and Joshua gives out orders. He did not call a conference. Joshua did not set up a committee. Joshua did not set up a working group. Joshua did not set up a planning group. Joshua got on with it. And sometimes we need to think about that. That we have the Great Commission. And we have the directive of the Word of God and how we serve and how we worship our God. And perhaps sometimes we need to get on with it. And isn't it true, the longer the delay, the greater reluctance it is to start. But here, there's an immediate response to the commission that the Lord has just given Joshua. We read in the book of Colossians, in chapter 3 and verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And we need to apply that. Whatever the Lord has given us to do. Now, we won't have a task like Joshua had. But we have our tasks. We have our ministries. We have our spheres of where we serve. And basically, we are to get on with it. And to serve the Lord. And not to worry about what men think. The fear of man is such a crippling thing in the lives of so many believers. And what does Joshua do? He gives his orders to, if you like, subordinate officers. He commanded the officers of the people and he said to them, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, and within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan. There's no maybe, hope we might, trust that we will, or any of that. It is, you shall pass over the Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And these subordinate officers are there, and their purpose, of course, is to see that Joshua's orders are carried out. They are to prepare the people in all sorts of ways that need to be prepared to cross the River Jordan. And then, after they're on the other side, of course, they are entering the Promised Land. It could, I suppose, in military terminology, be called mobilization. If you've read anything of the beginning of the Great War, or the Second World War, particularly the Great War, you read that before hostilities broke out, all these countries were mobilizing, France and Germany and Austria and Russia and so on. They were mobilizing. And in a sense, this is what's happening here. They're getting ready. They're going to get ready because it's not going to be a picnic on the other side of the river. They need to be ready. But what they have and what they can look upon, what Joshua can see, what these leaders can see, what the men and women that make up the group can see, is a well-organized and a well-disciplined force. In other words, what they have is an effective fighting army. And again, for us, we need discipline, don't we? We need to be well organized in our discipline, in the way that we live, in the way that we have our quiet times, and so on and so forth. If we are to be effective in serving and fighting the battles that the Lord would have us fight. And of course, there's an old saying, isn't there? We strike while the iron is hot. All to do, I think, with putting on horseshoes. I think that's where it comes from originally. And we need to be aware, every one of us, we need to be aware of the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because he surely is our leader. He is our guide in our Christian service. And surely there is such a need today in our church, and I mean the church generally, that we need leaders, men who are men of the book, men who are filled with the Holy Spirit, men who have the glory and honour of God as their major and first desire. We need leadership. We need leaders that will behave with biblical dignity, biblical propriety, and with biblical authority. Because it is only, surely, when they begin to show these qualities that they can command the respect of those whom they serve. People may not agree with the evangelical witness. People may not like the gospel as it is proclaimed. People will not like the biblical directives on relationships. But if we stand firm and rely on the Lord, he will not only enable us, although people will disagree, and sometimes disagree quite violently, there will be some who will begin to put some respect that they really mean what they say. And they really live out what they preach. You see, in Christian leadership, in fact in Christian circles generally, but in Christian leadership, we have no need for the flatterer. We don't want someone that's just come along and tell people how nice they are and how good they are and how kind they are and what lovely people they are, but nothing else. Nor do we want somebody who can tell the stories one after the other. Did you hear this? And I know this little anecdote and that anecdote. And in the end, there's nothing. Or do we need a dictator? We need men like Joshua who have been appointed by God, who have been anointed by God, and who serve under God. God has spoken to Joshua, and then Joshua speaks to his officers. There's no need for consultation. There's no hint of that whatsoever. He commanded the officers of the people and he told them what to say to the people. They are to prepare for the journey. They are to prepare for the campaign that is to come. And if we are to be, if in any sense, successful in our service and ministry for the Lord, we have to be obedient. It is only the obedience of the people of God that the Lord answered that obedience on that seventh day when the walls of Jericho fell. But when one man was disobedient, Achan, they came up against problems at the city of Ai. There is always a need for obedience. And one disobedient individual can indeed stop and hinder the work of God. And of course, there is a need for supplies and stores. You can't go on a campaign like they're going to go on across the river to Jericho and then on beyond without supplies, without stores. And it would be a long and an arduous journey. And a long and arduous campaign lay ahead. They are to prepare. And for example, if we're going away, say we're going for a holiday, some far, far place, we prepare, don't we? We look up places to start with, to book, to go, where to stay, particular places that we might want to visit, the opening hours and things like that. We make sure the car is full of petrol. We take various things with us that we're going to need. We get some food in, and so on. We make some preparation. We don't just go off and hope for the best. And of course, that's the key, isn't it? Preparation. Spiritual application to it. Preparation. The day on what unfolds is surely going to be on how much, a lot of it on how much we spent in prayer and on the word of God at the beginning of the day. And when there is a particular special ministry, hey, we need to bathe it in prayer, as well as the everyday things as well. And now Joshua has this responsibility. And one thing that Joshua knows, that if he is obedient to God's will, he can rely on God's help. And we know that as well, don't we? If we are prepared to be obedient to the will of God, then we can count on the Lord's help as we seek to carry out his will. 3 days to go when they will cross the River Jordan. And of course, Joshua will be receiving the news from the two spies that happen in chapter 2 of this book, before they obviously set out. Now, the River Jordan, at the time of the year that they will cross, is a barrier. But it will present no difficulty to the Lord. The Lord is guiding them, the Lord is leading them, and the Lord will enable them, as we will read, or you would read later on in the book of Joshua, how the Jordan dried up and how they were able to cross over, the whole army. You see, Joshua here doesn't show any signs of hesitation, any signs of, well, maybe, possibly. But he has knowledge of full confidence in the Lord. And of course, you read his history and you can understand why. You see, we have to always remember this, that our trust, our service, our commitment is in the Lord. And as soon as we begin to think about it being in ourselves, then we are in trouble, great trouble, and we'll fall over and stumble. And the Lord never, ever panders to laziness. And also, it's so easy, isn't it, to say, well, we tried that. That won't work here. No. Someone said, what you need to beware of becoming is what someone has called a sanctified obstructionist. A sanctified obstruction. You can come out with all the right chat, all the right words, but all you're doing is put a spoke in the wheel and stopping the work of God moving on. And it can be so unhelpful to people who are seeking to serve. And of course, the other thing we have to remember, that Joshua, along with Caleb, of course, were the oldest members in the Israel camp. Yet, and we don't, again, we can read about Caleb in chapter 14. I mean, I'm nowhere near 85, but I wish I had his energy at my age now. They're the oldest members, and yet they are so enthusiastic at the prospect of entering the promised land. Remember their report of the when they went out with the other 10 spies. Positive. We can do it because God is with us. Oh no, we can't, said the other 10. There's giants in the land, and there's this, and there's that, and there's the other. And what happened? 40 years in the wilderness. And of course, verse 12 brings into focus these tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And back in Numbers chapter 32 and in verses 20 to 33, I won't read them now, we there read of Moses' injunction, or orders, if you like, to these 2.5 tribes. And also we read there, not only of Moses' injunction, but also the promises, or the promise, that these tribes said that they would obey. In other words, the giving of this land on the side of the Jordan on which they are now was a provisional grant upon their obedience that they would go, or some of them would go, across the river with the main army to fight in the promised land. And that's what Joshua does. He says in verse 30, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, etc. Joshua is reminding these 2.5 tribes that they are to remember the agreement they made with Moses when he gave them that portion of the land on the eastern side of the Jordan. And the giving of those lands there on the eastern side of the Jordan was dependent upon their faithful discharging of their responsibilities. And basically here, Joshua is complying, if you like, with his side of the agreement. And he is now reminding them of their obligations. And sometimes perhaps we too may obligate. Maybe we made vows, pledges, promises to one another. Perhaps to the Lord. And sometimes we need to be reminded and prodded about them. And when he talks there about that word in verse 13, remember, it just means heed. And it's a call to obedience. It's not like just, you know, do you remember this or do you remember that? It's quite specific. You remember, you heed, you obey the word of the Lord, or rather the word of which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. You are to remember the charge that was given to you, and you are to remember the promises that you made. And they will be obliged to keep to their word. And one of the tasks that Joshua has here is to see and to make sure that they did so. Joshua calls on them to honour their pledge. He holds them to it. He reminds them there, doesn't he, how the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. How good the Lord has been to them. What a blessing the Lord has been to them in the provision he has made to them. And Joshua is very careful. He is very careful to look after their wives and children. We read in the book of Numbers and chapter 32 and verse 17. This is, of course, we ourselves will be ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. In other words, Joshua is aware that these men have wives, they have children which they love and they're careful and they're concerned with. And we do discover that 40,000 of them passed over into the promised land. And if you compute that with the numbers of the tribe of these three tribes together and other parts of the numbers, you will find that over 70,000 of them were left. Now, I'm sure many of them may well have been included, may have been young men and women possibly. But they're not going and leaving their families undefended. Joshua makes sure that they will be protected, they will be guarded, their wives, their children, and their properties. And for the 40,000 that are going to cross the River Jordan, are going to engage in the campaigns in the Promised Land, they will not have to worry about their families left behind. They won't have to think about, I wonder if this lot of group or that lot of raiders will be coming in. They will have warriors there, men there to guard them and protect them. You see, these 2.5 tribes had their portions of land. They actually had them there. They were living there. Whereas the other tribes had only hope. But they were obliged to do their service. And they were obliged to do it in a special way. Because they answered Joshua and saying, all thou commandest we will do. And so we will hearken unto thee, only the Lord be with thee, and as he was with Moses. They are to go in there and to take on their tasks. They were the spearhead of the army. And of course they would be well armed. They had weapons, of course, that had been taken from the Egyptians and from the Amalekites, as well as those that they made themselves. And they get a lot more, of course, as they go through the campaigns. And notice this, that Joshua didn't beg them for their help. He did not appeal for their assistance. He reminded them of the promises that they had made to Moses and, of course, ultimately to the Lord. And they were to follow the word of God. And for us to honour the Lord, we too must honour his word. And we follow it, don't we? We live by it. As we should live, speak and think. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to somebody in the up at Beachy Head, and he had a real strange mixture of views. And he said to me, "What do you believe?" And I said to him, I try to live my life as I read and understand the Word of God and with God's gracious help. And that's surely it, isn't it? It's only with God's help that we can do this. And it brings honour, we trust, and glory to the Lord. And these Reubenites, they don't give any, and Gadites and half-tribe, they don't give any problems to Joshua. They acknowledge the divine mission there. And they answer, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." They promise to follow Joshua's directions. They promise to follow Joshua's commands in all things. They are willing to follow Joshua. They are willing to cooperate with him. And what an encouragement the officers or the speakers from these tribes must have been to Joshua. It seems there when they speak, they've got no hidden agendas. They promise obedience, both if you like, as subjects and as soldiers. Like we should be, of course, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 9 and verse 57, we read this. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you, or follow thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You see, commitment to Christ demands our all, over everything, over everybody. The Lord, of course, was with Joshua. And they have this wonderful, wonderful, earnest prayer here. "We hearkened unto Moses, all the things so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." In other words, what he's saying, and basically what they're saying, may God be with you. And these officers are not only encouraging Joshua through their obedience, but they're also praying for him. What an encouragement it is when we know people are praying for us. And when we know we're going on ahead on a particular ministry, when we're preparing perhaps for a preaching or whatever it may be, that there are people praying for us. And believe, if you can do nothing else, if you are so unable, for whatever reason, to do anything else, you can pray. And possibly prayer is probably one of the hardest ministries to sustain. They pray for the presence of God to be with Joshua. As they followed Moses, and so they will follow Joshua. And of course, it's a reminder, isn't it, that we are indeed to pray for those in authority. I know in this situation that Joshua was a man of God, and our government are not, obviously, men of God, most of them, if not none of them, probably, but we are still to pray for them. You know, Paul is quite clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And remember, when Paul wrote that, the emperor was Nero. And yet, Paul says, we pray for those in authority. You see, these people, these Reubenites, these Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, took both Joshua's leadership and their responsibility so, so seriously. And isn't it always good when people follow with goodwill? Indeed, what do they say in that last verse? Whoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death, only be strong and of good courage. In other words, what they're saying is anyone that gives you any hassle, any indiscipline, anyone who wants to disobey, they should be put to death. It's that important. And it is so essential, isn't it, in an army to keep discipline. It's so essential in a church to keep discipline. And of course, perhaps they can remember, many of them would of course remember, if not all of them, what happened to their fathers and their mothers in the wilderness years. Again, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, we read this. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see, the Lord expects complete, total, utter obedience to him and his word. And if we're not prepared to, then there's no point in calling him Lord. You see, obedience to Christ is a matter of life and death. And the Lord will encourage us. The Lord will enable us. And we, I trust, in turn, will be able to encourage and enable others. And surely we need to just think of those last line, those words, isn't it? Be strong and of good courage. And why are we to be strong? Because the battle is the Lord's. Let's pray together. Our dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust it, that we can live by it. And we pray, Lord, that as we think on those things this morning, we think of the obedience and the discipline. May we be those who are obedient to your word, that we are disciplined by your word. And that, Lord, you would enable us and strengthen each one of us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.